You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And welcome to the Morning DNA for January 18th, 2021. I am Aaron, the man of a single black shirt. And for the last time, the shirt that you chose for me, this is time number 5. So it will be going away after this. And Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions.
This is happening already.
Yeah, we already have a question why we're on the opposite sides.
I know.
And I'll let you know why.
I just realized that.
And I'll let you know why it doesn't happen that often. I'll go ahead and fix it so everybody feels comfortable.
Oh, phew. Oh.
I'll let you know why it doesn't happen that often and why it happened. Danae was actually first to the show today, and so that's why she ended up on the left. And yeah, that's also the first time that's ever happened. So
I did it.
But yeah,
first time for everything.
Normal for you. Yeah, how you doing? It's been a bit, right?
Yeah, sorry about last week. My daughter got sick, so I had to pull the mommy mode. It's very difficult to go live when you have a toddler that's knocking at your door. Mm-hmm. Mom, yeah. Hey, what are you doing in there?
Yeah.
Nothing. So we had to skip last week, so sorry about that. Mr. Pro Poutine says, thank goodness my world is no longer upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think we've tried to flip a couple times just for fun, and it doesn't feel right.
Well, I think the first time somebody was like, well, you call it the Morning DNA, but then when I look at it, it's A and D, you know? And so we're like, okay, we can switch that up. And as soon as we switched it, everybody was like, nope. Switch it back. So,
it feels wrong.
Thank you, Beastly Moron. Says I'm sure it has already been said, but that shirt is very dapper, Aaron. So.
It is a dapper shirt. It is being retired after today's DNA episode. Thanks again to our patrons for having this fun little weirdness that happened where Aaron had to wear a shirt other than his black shirt for five shows. And now we're here. What are you gonna do with the shirt, Aaron?
It will probably maintain its place as a relic of the foregone past.
So you're going to throw it away?
I'm going to file it in the circular file. No, I'll probably hang it up somewhere here in the studio as a reminder. As a reminder of our lovely and amazing Team DNA members, whom we love dearly, and who are joining us on a holiday Monday.
Holiday Monday.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Yeah, I wondered, like, it's an interesting day, right? Like, I didn't know, did you have childcare today? I didn't know if we would be able to do the show on a holiday like today. Like, my family's all home. So, I mean, not that that's weird during the pandemic, although my wife works in an essential business, so she is working outside the house. But yeah, so it's kind of an interesting, different feel to the morning.
Yeah, we have childcare today, and usually she kind of flows with the schedule for school, but maybe she's doing something different. But yeah, I get to actually kind of have some focused work today, which will be very nice. But today is an interesting one. I always remember going to Washington, D.C. to the MLK Memorial and the big monument and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful space. My cousin had a really important ceremony there, and we like walked around and read his quotes that are all sort of like carved in stone, and we just talked about what those quotes meant to us, and it was just this really like meaningful gathering kind of a thing. It was a really cold day, and I remember just it was like it's sober there. It was very somber and just respectful, and all of the meaningfulness of that day kind of is one of the things I think about. They're really Martin Luther King is a really important figure for them, so I don't know, I remember the radio days too, of you and I doing the radio show and people calling in and talking about how they feel about race equality and the importance of the continued work there. And yeah, I was, I don't know. I like this day. I'm glad that we kind of pause the world a little bit to reflect on it. I think it's important. I mean, I still have a lot of things I got to get done today, but I plan on going back through and just reading my notes from that day. And I don't know, just kind of having a little pause, just to the important work we're doing.
I think it's a really beautiful breath of fresh air in what has otherwise been a very tumultuous, divisive, well, I was going to say week, month, but let's just go with years. You know, like it's been, you know, I think of Martin Luther King Jr.'s, my favorite quote of his is the returning hate for hate multiplies hate quote. It says, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And, you know, that is just, it's just such a beautiful reminder during a time where hate seems to kind of be the go-to emotion in a lot of ways through social media or whatever the case may be, especially in a very politically divided U.S. And with some recent events. Yeah, it's just, it's for me, it's a nice day to remember what the dream of peace looks like. And, you know, of course, that is also a dream about racial equality and, you know, all the things that MLK talked about. But yeah, I definitely need that. I need like that encouragement to continue to go, yes, that's right. Like it's not returning hate with hate doesn't solve anything. And the only way to drive out hate is love. And that's just a really powerful thing for me to continue to remember, believe, put in my foundation, and act out on my day-to-day life. So yeah, I'm really digging this day for sure.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I guess show's over then.
Show's over, guys. Hey,
we did that.
Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you guys have had a good day. Oh, I got to get my Q&A ready.
You mean your FAQs?
Dang it.
Your friendship application question. Yeah. You ready to shoe a dough? You want to shoe a dough? Let's shoe a dough. Let's do it. All right. We're going to kick it off with the FAQs on Monday. And that is where Danae reads us a question from her friendship application question that she wrote herself many years ago.
Many moons.
When she was but a young lass.
When I was but.
A young lass. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's exactly right today.
Oh, no. It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Where are we at? What's the question?
We're in the essays. I don't think I've done this one yet. I expect my friends to tell me if I have something in my teeth. Have we talked about this one yet?
I can't tell if we have or if I just know it because you've read me these questions before. Because obviously I passed this application, you know, about 8 years ago.
Sure,
so I had to fill it out. And,
yeah, sure you did.
And pass.
Yeah, I super remember that. I have it filed away and everything.
You've got my copy, I'm sure, somewhere.
I expect my friends to tell me if I have something in my teeth, on my face, stuck in my hair, stuck to my shoe, or tucked into my underwear. Do you want me to return the favor?
Hmm. What's a simple yes or no answer?
Well, it's essay style in which you can say more if you want to.
Right.
So, right. This person that filled it out said, yes, I always appreciate a friend to let me know if I'm a mess, and I will definitely tell you as well. This is a really important question for me, because I do want to have someone tell me if I got something funky going on.
I am honesty, free speech, honesty, tell me the things, that's me. And if it hits me wrong, and if I feel some sort of way about it, then I can work through it and we can work through it. Like, but as far as like telling me that there's something between my teeth, how in the world is that going to be offensive to me? Like, what is the person who's like, how dare you make me aware of something that's going on between my teeth? Like, how is that a bad thing?
I don't know that they would respond like that, but some people either just don't care. Like, they don't care that there's something stuck in their teeth, or they could potentially be really embarrassed by it and bringing attention to it's like, okay, now I have to take this thing out of my teeth and I didn't care, but now I feel like I have to care.
Greg says, no way, rather not know. Well, I guess there's some people that feel that way. Sweet Chicken Sir says, actually, no, because if one thing is stuck in my teeth, I'm going to be self-conscious about it all month.
Wait.
That's interesting.
All month.
Even after you get it out of your teeth, you'll be like, I bet there's something in my teeth again.
This is why you bring a pocket mirror.
I do relate to this. I don't want to change my answer, but I do relate to this a little bit. I do remember one time I was speaking to a gathering of youth retreat, and I was the speaker for the weekend. And I do remember giving an entire talk, and afterwards, one of my friends saying, you know, your zipper was unzipped that entire time. And I'm like, okay, A, somebody couldn't have told me this, you know, before. and B, every single time for the next, you know, for the next life, it was like, oh, that's never happening again.
Dr. Trace says, I do like it if someone tells me if my fly is down. If I find out, I get frustrated more than embarrassed. How long has it been down?
Right. And why is nobody telling me?
Yeah. I've had a couple situations in my life. The teeth thing, I don't mind too much. Like, if I've got something in my teeth, that's not the end of the world. I'm not going to be dying of embarrassment. I'm not, you know, but there are some things I would like to know. And wardrobe malfunction situations are definitely one of them.
Right. Miguel says, yes, if it's before something important, otherwise, why bother?
How does one know when it's important, though?
Right. Like, I could be going to, you know, an important job interview next. You don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, always tell me.
I have one truly horrifying story of when I was in middle school. Tucking my skirt into the back of my underwear.
I've heard this is a decently common thing.
Yeah, you just skirts. Like you get up and you pull your underwear up and your skirt gets stuck in the back. And so I walked bare legged and then showing my butt all the way through my school, all the way down the hallway into my class. And because my last name started with B, I was all the way at the front of the classroom. And when I
and
sat
no one
down,
said anything.
No one said anything. And when I sat down, I felt the cold feeling of the chair beneath me, which was not supposed to be because there should be something covering that. And just, you know, someone be like, oh, hey, little Danae, this is going to scar you for life. Maybe before you go in there, untuck your stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Be that friend. Be just like in. And again, if the embarrassment turns into some sort of frustration with the person telling you, that's a problem you just got to work through yourself. That's kind of on each of us not to turn embarrassment into like being mean to someone or whatever the case may be. Because that's all it is. It's literally embarrassment.
Nick says, yes, please return the favor. And I don't care if you're a stranger. Assume I don't know and tell me before I make a fool of myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's the right answer. Now, I mean, if you don't want to know, I will certainly respect that. If you have told me, hey, don't let me know if there's something embarrassing on my face, if I have a bat in the cave or whatever the case may be.
Bat in the cave. Yeah, yeah. The boogies.
Then I won't. Or
in your case, Aaron, a massive boulder of earwax just teeter-tottering at the edge of your ear about to tumble out.
If you ever see Indiana Jones jump out of my ear canal, you know what's about to happen.
I think at the end of the day, like, I would rather just approach someone, even if it's a stranger, and just say, hey, I don't know if this is important to you, but XYZ is happening right now.
Yeah, no, totally.
I don't want you to come off judgmental. Like, it's not like you're a less person because you have toilet paper stuck to your shoe. Or...
No, this is totally different than going up to somebody and being like, I don't know if you want to know this, but your haircut does not look good on you. Like, that's a totally different. That's a very different thing. Like, that is not saving someone from embarrassment. That's, you know, belittling someone's appearance. But there are certain things we understand are just, you know, a bit embarrassments. Like,
I would really love it if that person turned around and said, yeah, this is part of my outfit. And I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Carry on, toilet paper person.
That's right. Yes.
So that's it. We are almost done with this page.
Oh, we have FAQs.
We have two more pages after that. So we'll be doing this for a while.
Very fun. Let's get into it. We're going to do the D, N, A, and U. We will have a D topic, an A topic, and a bunch of U topics, if you would like. The D topic is Danae's. The A topic is mine, Aaron. And the U topic is you. So be thinking about any question you have for us, any topic you want us to talk about, and make sure you put the letter U at the beginning of your comment so we can make sure and see it. And whether you are at YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or even that other social network that shall not be named.
Correct.
That starts with an F and ends with a book.
Ends with a book. Acebook.
We will do our best to answer all your U questions. Just make sure you put a U at the beginning so we can see it. All right, Danae, why don't you kick us off? What's your topic for today?
This is based on, over the weekend, we had our Christmas finally. For those of you that weren't around during our Christmas time, my dad came down with COVID. He tested positive for COVID on Christmas Eve. So all of our plans were canceled. We've literally been waiting for him to get out of quarantine and then my mother to get out of quarantine so that we could all safely gather again. And that was this weekend. So we finally had a chance to celebrate Christmas and we had a lot of fun, a lot of really good stories to share. I mean, it was great. I had a wonderful time. But there was one moment that will stand out in infamy. Whoa, why is it doing the ticker? Aaron, fix it. Just kidding. I'll fix it. And that is this. When pets attack your food. So there were three dogs at our event, two of ours, and then my mom and dad brought their dog, Moxie, as well. And my question is, do you have a story of a time that a pet has done something to your food? Could be really an important meal. It could be a drink. I don't care what your story is. Just think back in your mind. For us, my dad came in with two of our dessert options and set them down on the counter, not realizing that one of our dogs is a counter troll. Mm. They're short dogs, they're not big, but they can get up and then they have like this thing going on, you know, where it's just at this. I walked through the kitchen and I noticed that the cake had a big section of icing that had been rolled up. And I thought that was strange. And my dad saw it. He thought that was strange because it wasn't like that when he came in. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe someone like set it down and then rubbed their elbow on it or something. My husband jokes.
As he one said, is wont to do. You know, of course your brain goes there. We set it down and somebody rubbed their elbow on it.
I literally.
Hey guys, it's a cake. Is this the elbow cake? Is this where we do the elbow thing?
I thought it was like an accident where like they're scooting something around.
It was just funny the way you said it. It was like, I thought somebody said it and somebody rubbed their elbow in it. You know, as is tradition with cakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just, that's good luck.
I'm going to make that a new tradition.
It's all a right, sign
guys,
of good luck.
Here's the elbow cake. Everybody dig in.
And then you try to lick it off of there. My husband said jokingly, he's like, yeah, probably one of the dogs did it. Mm-hmm. And it was a moment where everything stopped and time stood still. I'm just staring. What? It was an entire section of the cake that was literally just bare. There was nothing on there. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because it wasn't like the icing had sunk into the cake. There was nothing there but just cake. And then at the top part, it was rolled over. And it was like in a movie where you see what was happening in your imagination. And I just saw one of my dogs just up there licking and just rolling back the icing bit by bit by bit, just making this whole section bare. It was an entire like quarter of the cake.
Nice.
It was just completely gone. We didn't catch him in the act. We didn't see it happen. We have no idea. We were opening presents for quite a while. So at some point, they were just in there, you know, getting up there and getting the treat. So we ended up just having to kind of slice off the entire section and chuck it. Which my father said, and I'm curious what you guys think about this too. Maybe this is a follow-up question for you. Yes or no, would you still eat the cake? My dad says
yes. He
would eat it.
100%
you would
yes.
eat it?
100% yes. I mean, why not?
What?
Do your dogs not lick your face? Like
they lick their butts all the time.
Do they lick your face? Like I'm just saying.
They don't lick my face because
okay,
they lick
enough.
Their butts. They're
okay,
butt
but
lickers.
But here's the thing. There are two answers to this question. One is, would you just eat the cake as is, right? And the other is, would you cut off any of the edges and eat the cake that's still, you know, in the center? Which, by the way, is the best part of the cake anyway. And okay. The answer to that second one is an easy, easy yes. And I think the answer to the first one is a maybe still. So, but I don't, it doesn't bother me that much. I'm not worried about it.
No.
I've got an immune system. In fact, I've got a really strong immune system because I'm willing to eat dog licked food.
Dude, you licked a desk and got so sick.
And then I could lick any desk I wanted to after that.
I thought you were going to say, and then I've been exposed to COVID and didn't get it.
That's
so
right.
Obviously, my immune system is
if you had licked a desk in the 90s, you would be free from COVID today.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I couldn't do it. I could not eat. Even if, okay, I looked around. I looked at the table. I looked at just everything going on around to see if there was a strip of icing that had somehow made its way on something, but somebody had bumped it or whatever. Yeah. Could not find icing anywhere. Confident that it is a dog. I would never eat that cake.
Mm-hmm.
They are butt lickers, Nick. They are butt lickers. Yeah, and I could go into great detail about how nasty their butt-licking habits are, but I think that we should just move on, since this is really more about stories of if you've got animals that have ruined a dinner for you, yeah.
Mr. Probutine says, yes, you eat cake that people blow on. It's not wrong about that.
It's different. That's different.
Lucas says, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth.
That's not true, Lucas.
It's kind of true. It's not true. It's kind of true. If you do the research, it's kind of true.
What do you mean? Tell me more about that.
I researched this for a video once, and actually was researching it to say that that's not true because I had heard that it's not true.
Right.
But in some ways, it actually is true. The bacteria in a dog's mouth are not bacteria that is harmful to humans at all. So in that aspect, it is cleaner. I guess cleaner meaning less dangerous. Than the bacteria you already carry around in your own mouth. So
yeah, that's just bull beep. Okay, so here we are on PetMD.com, October 29th, 2019. So not too out of date.
Mm-hmm.
Is your dog's mouth cleaner than yours? Here's what they say. The short answer is no. Now listen, have I done any research on this website?
Have you gone website? Into the long answer website? Yet?
No. Dog mouths are not cleaner than
answer.
Our mouths. In fact, studies have shown that hundreds of unique bacterial species can be identified in the saliva of dogs, but that doesn't mean that our mouths are clean. Similar tests in humans have found the same result. There's bacteria everywhere.
Yep.
Aside from bacteria, numerous parasites can be present in the pet saliva. Oh, my God! Yeah. Both can be transmitted to humans and can cause an assortment of medical conditions. That's why you should never eat puppy lick cake.
That's really strange that they had that specific instance in there in that article.
It was in there.
Dave says, a Christmas story. Those dang Bumpus hounds. yes.
Okay. That's an epic moment, right?
Pet disasters create Chinese food for Christmas. Everybody wins.
You guys are all thinking about the same thing. That's amazing. Do we have anybody else that had their dog stories?
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Procatine says, I came back to the dog on my chair eating my food. Yeah. I've had that experience many times when we had pets of just like, just having that brain moment where you're like, oh, I'm just going to run to the kitchen real quick.
You can't.
And just, you leave your plate wherever and you come back and it's like on the floor and the dog has got a, you know, big grin on their face. So, yeah.
My favorites too, because I had a St. Bernard and so she was easily able to get on every countertop. And there was a time when she was still agile and she was, you know, able to get up on her hind legs and get her entire top half on the counter. So nothing could be on the counter, even back by the wall. If it was related to food, she would eat it. If it was a spatula that had stirred spaghetti in the last 24 hours that was still somehow able to be smelled as delicious, she would eat it.
Yeah, pets, they're good at that.
Yeah.
Archimedes Amazonas says, I was drunk, distracted with a kebab stick in my hand, and a friend's dog decided to partake in my snack. I didn't want him to eat the wooden stick. So I tried to take it away from the dog, and he bit my hand instead.
No.
Instead of a kebab, I had a big scare for a snack.
No.
Yeah. That is no fun.
Yeah, dogs get a little weird about food. This morning, I want to believe I'm a really good pet owner. I should show you guys my dogs. They're so cute right now. This is a perfect time to do puppy cam, but I don't have it set up.
No.
Anyway, usually in the mornings, there's a really good chance that I'm going to leave to go grab some fast food because I love tater tots and I don't like cooking my own tater tots because they're just not the same. So a quick Sonic run is perfect in the mornings. And my dogs get snacks at Sonic. And they now sit at the at their little place in the back seat. And then when the people hand the snacks over, they kind of go like little hungry hippos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They get really, really excited about that. I'm going to see if I can show you. Okay, you read more, Aaron.
Oh, my. Oh, we're all going to get dizzy now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, this
okay,
is.
Fine. Okay, you don't this, mean to. That's fine. That's fine. I'll put it back. I'll put
just,
it back.
This is. Listen, no. When you watch a show with Danae Hughes on it, you just have to be ready for anything. So take your flight, whatever you take if you're going on a flight. Make sure you take that before watching
Yeah, I probably should have given a trigger warning for that one. Anyway,
they're
curled up in a ball. It's adorable.
Chris says, there was a day when my girlfriend hadn't eaten all day, so I got her a big sandwich. Nice. I should not have. We live by the coast, so that was a day a seagull sat on her head and took half her sandwich.
Chris!
Not a pet. Still works. Still glad you told the story.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We went to a restaurant once that was right on the water, and there was all these signs like, don't feed the seagulls, don't feed the seagulls. But as people who had never seen seagulls before, we were really intrigued by it. And mm-hmm. we did not feed seagulls, but one of the tables closest to us put their hand up in the air with like a French fry in their fingers. And it was insane. It was mm-hmm. aerial swarmage.
Yeah.
Terrifying. No,
the mind thing from Finding Nemo is absolutely correct. My grandparents lived on the coast, I guess you would call it, of Lake Huron in Port Huron, Michigan. and we would go to, we would take like a small fry down there and feed the seagulls when I was a kid. And it was insanity. Those birds did not care for life or limb. They wanted those fries.
No.
So, yeah.
Lolly says, I once saw a seagull take a whole ice cream cone from a tourist's hand. It swallowed it down whole, like a fish.
Okay.
Man, you sure they're kind of scary.
Because I've never seen a seagull like do the pelican thing where it just has the whole fish go down its throat. But hey, I'm not trying to doubt your story, but that's, I can't imagine a seagull downing a full ice cream cone.
We walked on the beach that same vacation. I think it was we were in Michigan, actually. So we were on one of the lakes, and we had a container of leftovers, and you're very much told, don't put your food into any of the trash cans. It's a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were going to be, we were throwing French fries to the seagulls because we were allowed to over here. There was no signs over in the section, mm-hmm. but there was this one seagull that was missing a leg. And so we were determined to feed the seagull that maybe needed it the most.
You saw Frank.
Did you see Frank?
Frank, yeah, the one-legged seagull. Oh, yeah. Frank's famous. Yeah. He actually bit his own leg off
to
get more food. He's like advanced evolution. Like,
God. Wait, was that your story that I just remember as my own?
What, the seagull one? Yeah, probably. That happens. I do have a story. It's a two-parter of amazingness.
Okay. About a dog or animals attacking your food?
Yeah, it was a dog.
Okay.
My wife makes the most amazing bran muffins. Now, if bran muffins sound boring to you.
Oh, I know the story.
If they sound boring to you, I assure you they are delicious. I love a good bran muffin. And so she had just gotten like an entire set of muffins out of the oven and was letting them cool a little bit on the kitchen counter. And one of our dogs, who is a counter troll, as you have called them before, pulled the sheet that was underneath them off. So then they were all on the floor, ate every last one of our bran muffins in a short amount of time.
And which is, it's disappointing since it's delicious.
They're delicious. It was very disappointing, but not near as disappointing as the effects that bran has on the digestive system of all living creatures.
Dogs are not immune. Yes, Lolly, you are correct. That's going to be a poopy dog.
That is a dog that was house trained, but it didn't matter because it did not know what was happening to its digestive system for the next couple days.
Let's not let this turn into the de-evolution of now we're moving and transitioning into dog poop stories, because I have so many of those that are epic.
I was going to say, you're the only one that can take us there, Danae. So you're the one that has to show self-control.
Oh, no. And I'm having a really hard time right now because I really want to tell you some doggy poop stories. But let's go back over. Lolly also said British seagulls are vicious.
Are British seagulls worse than American seagulls? That's interesting.
Moco Maine says, my husband calls seagulls flying street rats.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Greg shares a story. I remember when I was younger on the balcony of a hotel room, opening up a bag of chips and one million. Whew, it's a very specific number. 1 million seagulls coming on the attack. I have never ran into a hotel room so quickly. It's terrifying to see them descend.
It is.
But at the same time, when we were on the balcony of that restaurant, there was this one particular seagull that caught like an airstream and was just cruising. And was just looking at us out of the side of his eye, because, you know, like they have the interesting face where they don't have to look at you. They're looking at the side. And we were laughing so hard because my dad started to animate him and his imagination be like, hey, you know you want to. Hey, I'm just right here, man.
Just here.
Just one French fry.
Just waiting.
We were laughing so hard.
Lolly says, I've never met American seagulls, but British ones are not confined to the coast and they are big and will dive bomb people with food. Yeah, that sounds like American seagulls. Now you say not confined to the coast, but you have to remember that the island of, what would the island there be called? England? Is that, is that the singular
the
island?
British Isles?
Please don't make me do the Venn diagram of what all the different British conglomerations of the UK
Well, now that you've said it, I think we all want to see it. Bring out the whiteboard.
Anyhow,
let's go.
Just remember that island is not, I mean, it's the coast is everywhere for seagulls. Like they don't have to fly far to go, you know, inside the coast. So yeah, seagulls definitely go. They don't come here to Missouri, but that's a lot farther from the ocean than anywhere in England.
They're not in Missouri where I live. Lolly says it was mainland Britain.
Yeah, mainland Britain. The coast is always close enough for a seagull, you know, to make it anywhere. So
my mom is in the chat, Breezy Lady B, saying, no, it was a one-legged seagull on our vacation. So you have that memory too. Okay.
Yes. not a stolen memory.
So, yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. It's interesting when you go to new places for you and you think that something is really exotic, like a seagull, and it's just not. Locals hate them, and you don't understand their hatred because you don't live there. You don't understand what happens.
Yeah.
It'd be like someone coming here and being like, oh, squirrels.
No.
Squirrels, they're so cute. We should feed them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lollipop says, I live 3 hours from the sea by car, but seagulls don't drive.
Good point.
Fair point. You make a fair point.
This show. Point. Good job. Well, thanks everybody for sharing all of your stories today regarding dog. My mom, you know, being the one in the chat, she's the one that made the cake. It hurt her when we told her that we had to cut up half of the, well, not half, a massive chunk of the cake and throw it away. But there,
why
that
couldn't
was
you just slice off the outside? I don't understand.
No, we just cut off the edge of the cake where he had licked along the entire edge. You know, like long edge of a cake pan.
I thought you threw away like a whole piece of cake or something.
No, we did. We cut off the entire part that the dogs could have licked and chucked it in the bin. So they say in Britain.
Well, it is rubbish.
It's rubbish.
It is rubbish now.
Yep, 100%. What's your topic, Aaron?
A topic, what was your first job? The reason I ask this is because one of my sons is now working, got a job. And I thought that was, you know, something we can all think back on and think of our first job. I don't feel bad. I don't feel guilty. But
why? Because you've never actually had a job?
Never had a job.
Why? You're so funny. Oh, my goodness.
I have found a way to make a living using things that are just play.
Doing nothing.
I play for a job.
I do nothing.
No, I don't feel guilty, but I do hope my children realize like how easy they have at finding a job, because it really is one of those things where my son wasn't even looking for a job, but because his brothers work somewhere, they were like, hey, you want to come work here? And he was like, okay. And it's like a day later, he has a job. It's just like one of those things where, you know, many people spend a lot of time trying to find work.
You going like, back in my day, I had to fill out an application?
No, I mean, we joked about this, briefly before, but I really didn't work until after college. I did, but most of what I did was just, you know, dishwashing here for a place. And I was like, I don't like this. And I quit. And then, you know, working at Target for a couple months and being like, this is soul sucking. I'm out. So, yeah, it was one of those things for me where my first job was probably washing dishes, but my, you know, my first real job ish was youth pastor. So, and that was after college. So, yeah.
Sweet Chicken Store says, I was an umpire for Little League.
Ooh.
Good fun. Until the little kid pitcher somehow throws a 50 and the catcher doesn't know how to catch.
That's right.
Ugh. And also the baseball dads.
I was going to say, that would be the worst part, especially if you are, I'm assuming, young, getting this as your first job as an umpire, and just having the parents in the stands just be like, nothing their kids do is wrong. Every call you make against their team is horrible. And the culture of it being okay to be mean to umpires. Like, there's just this culture in baseball of, if you're an umpire,
you're fair game.
We're allowed to call you all the names and be mean to you. And wow, yeah.
The baseball dads are the seagulls and you are the food. And just come at you.
It's fair. Absolutely.
Nick says, a cashier at Kmart when I was in the 10th grade. Not bad, not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elizabeth says, technically, my first job was camp counselor for 6 to 13-year-olds.
Oh, interesting. I did do some counseling work, but I never got paid for it. Until you were a
youth pastor.
Well, of course. But that's not being a camp counselor. That's being a youth pastor.
No, it's being a camp counselor in church.
Okay, fair enough. Lucas says, my first job was working with my father. We built a house together. How cool is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing. What a I want to know all the things about that. Yeah.
Man, you've learned so many things.
I've thought about that idea. There are times where I'm like, you know, it's just wood and drywall and a foundation, and like, I feel like, right, exactly. No, exactly. And I feel like I could build a house.
What?
Don't you never feel that way?
No, are you kidding me?
No, and then I'll be like, Aaron, you can't put together the toys you got your kids for Christmas.
Your wife could
build a house.
I think I could build a house, guys. I'm pretty sure I just need to have
isn't that complicated.
Yeah, a desire to succeed. That's all one needs.
I've heard stories about people who do that, and they're just like, I think I could build a house. And then over the next 50 years, they build a house.
My gosh, I can't even imagine having that kind of confidence in myself. Yeah. I'm confident about some things that I really shouldn't be confident about, and I am. And I've walked into places and gotten jobs just on my personality and just being able to like fearlessly have conversation. Sure. That's how I landed my job on radio. Mm-hmm. I am fearless when I talk to people, and not everybody can do that or is built to do that, or maybe even myself should do that. It's landed me into some awkward situations. For sure.
No, I think it's safe to say we're doing this right now because of your fearlessness.
Yeah.
Because we would have never. I've told you, Danae, do you think I'm an intimidating person?
I mean, I'm so scared of you.
But you're
super,
not.
Super, super afraid. Like, gosh, guys, I am shaking in my boots.
But people have told me when they meet me that I don't give off much. I'm fairly internal.
Okay,
I'm a bit laid back, and because of my size, and
you are hard to read. That's how I would say it.
I have a resting intensity face. Sure, whatever it would be called, I don't know. But so I have this thing when people meet me where there's like this wall, and especially with women, like especially in my past, like a huge wall with, you know, I can't be friends with anybody of the female persuasion, you know, like I'm married, so no, you know, girlfriends, like that kind of thing as well. And it's one of those things that you, because of your fearlessness, just like didn't even notice. Like that wall was gone for you. And you were willing to like verbally spar, like in like play off of me. Like the first time we met, and I was like,
give it back to you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is what, you know, would be an amazing kind of dynamic for a show. And so
oops, you became friends with me. Oh no.
Right. And then I had to figure out what that meant. And that's what we've been doing for the last 8 years. So I really genuinely think that doesn't happen without your just disregard for any sort
for
of appropriateness.
Obvious cues that I don't want anyone that's to right. talk to me. That's right. My door exactly. is shut, my walls are up, and mm-hmm. why are you standing here talking to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned a lot about cues over the years. Still mm-hmm. miss a lot of them, but that's sort of just, you know, it does mean that you kind of find your own vein. Now, that wasn't my first job. My first job was Taco Bell. I worked at Taco Bell, but that was another one of my jobs where I was literally ordering Taco Bell, and the person said, wow, you're really fun. Do you want to work here? And I'm like, sure. So by the time my mother was paying for our food, I had the application in hand, had already filled it out, was handing it back over to them, and then I was hired. And I was 15, so I had to have parental permission, and I had to be within a certain window of turning 16 for them to hire me, and I couldn't work with any of the food. I could only work at the cashier register or cleaning. Yeah, so that was what I got to do all the time. But that was my first job, and I never have really had the same job multiple times. I love trying new things. That's part of my personality. Mm-hmm. So I love all these jobs coming in, though. Let's read some more of those.
Mr. Propoutine says, my first job was being a hockey referee. Nothing more satisfying than tossing grown adults out of arenas as a 14-year-old. I can imagine that. That's quite a trip. Nice little power trip.
Sarago, is it the Brahms ice cream and dairy store in your neighborhood? I love Brahms. Mm-hmm. That's why I freaked out. Miguel says, I passed out newspapers. They tried to be fancy with the title and called it being a brand ambassador.
Nice.
Here's one from my mother. We'll do Lolly first. Go ahead.
Lolly says, like most teen girls, my first paid employment was babysitting. I also did a little bit of quote unquote babysitting, child sitting, child care, child watching. I don't think we sit on babies or children anymore.
Yeah, so. I guess that's true. I definitely got paid for that before I worked at Taco Bell. But I think that my first official job was Taco Bell because I had to fill out like a W whatever, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In that same vein, Moco Maid says, nannying. Started nannying at 12 years old and did it for 12 years.
Mm.
That looks good on a resume.
Barbara Papa says, my first official, meaning legal and taxed work, was at an automatic molding line of an iron foundry with 16. Plenty of neighborhood stuff before, though, real job as in profession yet to come.
What?
So
that sounds crazy.
Molding line of an iron foundry. That sounds dangerous.
It sounds really dangerous. And I'm not understanding 100% if Barbara Papa was like saying they are 16 when they were doing that.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Right. Or if they were with 16 other people, or maybe the company was called 16.
If so, let's see what their labor laws are.
right.
Back to Breezy Blady B saying, cleaning a neighbor lady's house every Saturday for $1 an hour. And I didn't even want the job, but my mom made me do it to help the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder we don't like to clean. Wow, that's fun. I mean, there's so many different things that we can all do for our first job. And it just sticks in your mind and kind of stands out.
Lucas talking about building the house says it's a great feeling when we complete the house. Although it was difficult, we had fights and working every day under a strong heat. That is the beauty of getting a job. I really think there's so many things that education can teach you, like schooling education can teach you. But it is so difficult for it to truly socialize you into what it means to be co-workers with someone. That is just a hard thing to learn until you actually work with someone on somebody. And of course, there's different dynamics when it's family. I totally understand that. There's already kind of an existing relationship that has its own walls, has its own, beautiful things, not beautiful things, like that comes with those relationships. But no, there is something about getting out into a job and actually having a boss or having a coworker or having a worker who you manage. Like all of those things have all these different little that just schooling just doesn't teach you very well.
Yeah.
Sports can kind of teach you some of that stuff. Like having a coach is kind of like having a boss and teammates, mm-hmm. like coworkers, and they're, you know, and not just sports, but any like a band, any kind of extracurricular activity can kind of start to socialize you in those. But it's different. I'm just telling you, it's different when there's a paycheck, and that's, you know, that's something you just kind of have to discover.
So, oh, you know what? I'm wrong. My first job was when I was in middle school.
Okay.
I actually, you guys, insight into how I was when I was little. Okay.
Are you okay? Are you sure you want to talk about this?
No.
It seems like.
It's super okay. I'm just about to reveal part of my shenanigans background. So I had a really
Should this be a segment?
Like
Danae reveals her shenanigans background. Go.
So I was such a troublemaker in school, mostly with the authority figures. Like I really gave it to them. I was not nice to them. And let me just say, I was backed by my mom, who would show up at the school and be like, well, she's not wrong. So I had that going for me. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom. But pretty much my eighth grade year in middle school, I think basically the short of it is that I didn't really have a place to go inside the school that was happy for everybody.
Okay.
So they let me work in the cafeteria helping wash dishes. So my first job was actually, and I got paid to do it too. I had to go to school and I made friends with the lunch ladies. We had a great time. There was years after going to middle school that I actually would go back and I would walk in through the back door into the kitchen through the back, like I own the place, and go and give all of them hugs and leave, and nobody would ever know that I was there. A lot of really great memories. So that was my first official job, but I had it because the teachers were kind of like, yeah, we don't really want her in the classroom. Let's just pay her to go wash dishes.
She seems to be a girl of a million distractions, and we're having difficulty.
I was a very angry young girl at that time. I wanted to point out that Barbara Papa says I was 16. Just for clarification
at an
on
iron
that
foundry.
That's a lot.
Amazing. Yeah.
I wanted to also point out that Lolly had a couple. So go ahead.
Yeah. My husband has had sales positions here in the U.S. He's a great salesman, but the British accent sets him apart in interviews. Yes, I'm aware it's immigrant privilege. The British accent thing is a real thing here. I just heard somebody, Kate Winslet. I was listening to an interview with Kate Winslet, and she said that because of her accent, when she started acting, she was assumed by so many people to be more intellectual, to be more, you know, and so she got a lot of jobs, she felt like, because they just assumed she was deeper and more philosophical and whatever because of her British accent. And she said, I was not. I was a child. I was like...
In fact, I was a child.
And she talked about the fame after Titanic because she was in her early 20s when she got Titanic. And just how she was not ready for it. And she basically just, you know...
And it's because of her accent.
Disappear. And she feels like a lot of that success was due to her accent. So that really... really That's is interesting to me.
You got to do that Hugh Laurie thing and be able to talk like someone from the US without anyone knowing that you're actually from the UK.
Or reverse, you have to learn how to talk like you're from the UK so you can get in on that, you know.
But
that
if you're not ready for it, then don't do it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Lolly says, my first job was teaching keyboard to little kids. It was eye-opening how many of them wipe their nose on their hand and then touch the keys. Just wanted to say thank you for that. Appreciate it. but I thought this would be a really good transition. Gross! Put your keyboard down. For those of you listening to the podcast, Aaron has just picked up his keyboard and is pretending to lick it.
Pretending. Yes, pretending. Pretending.
This could transition us into the you question part. Any question goes, just put it in the chat wherever you're watching, whether you're watching on Twitch or YouTube or Periscope, which will soon become something different, by the way, or Facebook, wherever you guys are watching. Just put in your question or comment. There with a U in front of it and we will see it. But I thought this could be a really good transition into that section. Alan Dicer says putt-putt.
Yeah, my dad's first job was working in a putt-putt place, a little mini golf.
I loved putt-putt when I was little.
Yeah, I think putt-putt is actually the brand, like it was, I could be totally wrong about this, but I think it was like the those kind of miniature golf places were called, you know, putt-putt. And
putt-putt.
So we worked at one of those.
We still have a putt-putt in Springfield.
Nice.
Like a little one. But there used to be a really big one. I think it was on Battlefield. That doesn't matter to anybody listening. I just thought I'd tell you. But I thought this would be an interesting transition because Lucas says, on the question of age, to have the first job, how important is the age to start working? I talk about building a sense of responsibility. And you kind of alluded to this already, Aaron, but I thought it was just kind of a good thing to throw out if anybody has any other opinions about that. I did learn a lot. Even when I was in middle school, having something to do outside of the drama of middle school and trying to figure out who you are and how to fit in, and everything is dictated for you when you're growing up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a job and you're appreciated for something that you're doing rather than, I don't know, it did change things for me, and it actually helped me to get through that really difficult time. And then of course you go into high school and then it gets even worse. Sorry if there's anyone who's child age listening to this in the future. It sounds so negative. Not everybody has a bad experience in school.
I didn't. I had a great experience, but I don't know. I think I'm in the minority. I had a wonderful school experience.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things that you learn, as Aaron said, you know, that your value outside of social structure, that was a really big thing for me at the time. Yeah. And then my first job that I considered my first, which was Taco Bell, there was nobody, literally every single person that I saw every single day was someone I didn't know. And whereas before, it's, you know, your parents are there, your siblings are there, the people from school are there, your teachers are there, and everybody, quote unquote, knows you. But suddenly you get to exist as a brand new person with where no one is going to make the same assumptions. Well, they might make the same assumptions, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a fresh start. And that is always a really good feeling, at least for me.
I think there's an interesting balance here because, yes, you learn a lot. But also those lessons aren't bad to learn later either. Like, there is something to be said for extending your quote unquote childhood as long as you can, you know, like, and when I say that, I don't mean like Arrested Development, extending your childhood where you're, you know, my age and still acting like a child. Wait, kind of possibly is me, but I'm just saying there is something to be said for taking the opportunity of just being able to go play in the yard or just being, you know, able to, you know, mess around with friends or go see a movie or whatever the case may be, before having to be bogged down by
responsibility.
The daily grind of making a dollar, that responsibility.
There's a difference too. I think there's a different feeling though when you have your first job and you're 15, 16, 17, before you're out of the house potentially.
Yeah.
I think that's when things get real, is when the job becomes a necessity. Whereas when I was 16, it was like a job was fun and I was just doing it for fun. I wasn't doing it out of necessity. Not everybody lives that way though. And I realize that not everybody lives in that way. Like, there are families who need their kids to go to work to help with the family.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't live that way.
Yeah. Lolly says, you should extend your childhood, said the man in the dragon shirt.
Milka Maid says, having a job so young teaches us the value of the dollar, and suddenly you understand that the things you ask your parents for not only cost money, but time, and seem less important to have. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, too.
Yep. Yeah, and I have also become, man, this could go a bunch of different places, but I've also become much more aware of how valid the choice of putting off further education is as well, to do, you know, and everybody's different, but to have some time to do some sort of work, understand the value of money, understand where things are coming for before just like taking out a bunch of loans and going to college and, you know, wasting your first couple of years of college, just figuring out what independence looks like and like all that kind of stuff. They call it, you know, gap years or whatever, that there, I think there's some real value there. And again, it has to do with understanding your own psychology, understanding how you're made. I don't think there's one right answer for everybody, but as far as like there are reason there are labor laws as far as like on the young end, you know, I think there are absolutely detrimental things to, you know, doing any kind of full-time work, if you're too young, but yeah, I think it depends on the person and the job and the situation and all that stuff, for sure.
Let's go to the next question. This one's from Miguel, who says, let's get real. Top three pizza toppings. I
was just talking about this last night with my wife.
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding. I looked at my wife last night and I was like,
What?
I think pepperoni has fallen off my list. And
guys, hold on, honey. I gotta talk to you about something. Mm-hmm.
It was serious conversation.
Just thing in my heart.
It's one of those serious married convos, you know.
Feel like pepperoni is just.
I was like, honey,
slipping. You know?
We need to pause Top Chef for a second, and we need to have a conversation.
God, watching Top Chef while thinking about frozen pizza stabbings in general. That is my life. I mean, how many times I watch these amazing cooking shows and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go make some toast. I know how to nail toast. It's so good.
My number one has become mushrooms. There's something about the flavor of the mushroom on the pizza sauce cheese thing that I really like. Mushroom has become my number one. As far as number two,
I should not be blown away, but I am that you have a list at the ready. I'm like, deer in headlights.
Really?
You are such a list guy.
Well,
that you have a you have a top pizza topping list in your mind. It's crazy.
Is it? Is it really crazy?
No, it's not crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
I'm the weird one. I know.
Bacon is two. So you got mushroom, you got bacon, and pepperoni slipped down to number three. So yeah.
I love pineapple.
Y'all,
I love pineapple. I love
pineapple.
I'm gonna
go 572nd. Do not understand putting fruit on tomato sauce.
That's so yummy.
No,
there's something about the burst of sweetness.
Would you dip your piece of pineapple into tomato sauce? Does that sound yummy to you,
Aaron?
You're like, you've got some tomato sauce, you got a piece of pineapple, you're like, oh, boy, that is a flavor combination I was looking for.
Would you dip a raw mushroom into tomato sauce and eat it?
Absolutely. Mushrooms are great in tomato sauce. What are you talking about? Are you kidding?
You didn't lick your face. Holy crap. I have to clip that. That is amazing. Your face. You were so reactive.
Are you going to jiff my face?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I personally love the flavor of pineapple, warm pineapple on a pizza. I'll go with spinach as well. Same pizza, spinach, pineapple, and, I'll do mushroom too. I like mushrooms.
We can agree on one.
I'm going to go bacon.
Okay. We can agree on the bacon then.
Wow. A lot of people weighing in on that. We've got pepperoni, mushroom, olive, Italian sausage, pepperoni, and mushroom. Mushroom and bacon, but not together.
Interesting. I can understand
white
that.
Pizza with mushrooms.
Hey. No, get that.
Goat cheese, mushrooms, and spinach. And onions, if I can have a fourth. It's just the best combo. Chicken and pineapple.
Chicken and pineapple.
That sounds yummy, actually.
Okay.
Cheese and pineapple on a stick is the best buffet food.
I just have to put this up here because Doc says my dad hates mushrooms. Thanks, Dairy Queen.
What? Does Dairy Queen have a mushroom thing?
I feel like there's a story here.
Yeah, Doc, you need to expand on that.
I have no idea what mushrooms have to do with Dairy Queen.
Pineapple, mandarin oranges.
Slab. How dare you? What is this? Oh,
I don't know. There's
sweet
something about
on
hurting
my pizza.
You. There's something about hurting you with pizza toppings that I'm really
you
annoying.
You know what I want on my pizza? A piece of chocolate cake. That makes sense.
No, Italian sausage, jalapenos, mushrooms, easy list. Moco made, olives and broccoli are good too. And Nick. I think we found the topic that causes Aaron to judge us hard. And that's true, right?
Listen, I have internal issues with this idea of sweet things on tomato sauce.
Pepperoni sausage and extra garlic. Ooh.
So it's not too much garlic, but I don't mind the garlic. I love crusts that have a nice like buttered garlic, you know,
agree
flavor
with you
to
there.
Them.
So, chicken plus corn plus sauce hollandaise is climbing my list.
Guys, I gotta be honest. We can't talk a lot about sauces because I have instinctual reactions to most sauces that are not marinara.
How about cranberry, sweet potato, and turkey?
sweet potato. What is this?
Oh, no.
I mean, I get that you're doing a Thanksgiving pizza at that point, but please tell me you're not putting tomato sauce on that pizza.
Like, here's a question for you, Aaron. How do you feel about egg on pizza?
I can go with egg. Like, I can, like, there's somewhere that's a neutral enough taste. It's a beautiful taste. I've done eggs on cheeseburgers before. It works. It would be better than fruit. I'm not excited about it, but it would be better than fruit. Yes.
Lolly says, Super Taster Aaron is in his personal hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Slices of potato, ranch, and bacon.
Ranch. Listen, sauces. I can't do sauces. There's no, literally, tomato-based sauces are the only ones that I can do. Condiments, sauces, it's rough on me.
Yeah. So. For those of you who are new, thanks, guys, so much for watching and hanging out with us. Aaron is a super taster. That means that he has... Indeed. More taste buds on his tongue per square inch per wherever than the normal human. He's basically a superhero of sorts. So yeah, when he puts something into his mouth, he tastes all the flavors individually and intensely. So, and there's certain flavors he just cannot handle. So these kinds of conversations are extra exciting because we get to see him squirm a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to scroll back up and see if there was another question that I missed.
Okay. I'll just say from Doc, you did explain. My dad and I were coming back from a church thing a long time ago. We stopped at Dairy Queen. They have more than ice cream stuff. That is true. They're kind of a diner. We both got the mushroom Swiss burger meal. The mushrooms looked like slugs and were super gross. That's why he hates mushrooms.
Oh, no.
Yeah, texture is a big thing for people who don't like mushrooms. It's a little slimy for them.
Not all of them are slimy, though.
No, but it's fairly common that you can get a slimy mushroom.
On pizzas, I find them to be usually pretty dry.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. That has not been my experience, but yeah. Yeah, mushrooms are generally the way they're served are slicker food, texture-wise. All
right. Here's the next topic, and this might actually be what we end the show on.
All right.
Today, this who says WandaVision came out Friday. Share your thoughts. I loved the Bewitched episode because it really nailed the feel of that show while also being very emotional regarding Wanda's mental health. Thoughts on WandaVision?
I'm loving it.
I am too.
I've actually seen the first three episodes.
I've seen the first two episodes.
So
like everyone else.
Right, like the normies.
Like normals.
But as a pop culture critic, I did have access to the first three and love them very, very much. I think you touch on what is one of my favorite parts, which is that they both honor the source material they're kind of satirizing or imitating, as well as being about something themselves. And they do it so well. The first episode is a Dick Van Dyke show. Takeoff, and that is my favorite TV show of all time. That's not an exaggeration. That's not just something I'm saying. You know, I have lists. I've made that list, and the Dick Van Dyke Show is number one on that list. And so seeing
guys, he has lists. Calm down.
And so seeing them do the Dick Van Dyke Show and do it well, like the jokes, the humor, the laugh track, like all the stuff from that era, just feels so authentic. And yet having those moments where it's like, oh, there's mystery here. There's something else going on here. It's really good. And I'm very excited to see where it goes. And I am so, so on board for the MCU on TV. I think that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I found that the mystery of what the show is and is going to become and what it's going to be revealing about Vision and Wanda's story in the world of Marvel, I actually knew a little bit about it going into it, mostly because I remember looking up their story. I think when maybe it was one of the Avengers movies came out or something. I just kind of wanted to see more about that. So I was researching years and years ago. So there was some stuff that was kind of in my mind, like, oh, we're going here. And then by the end of episode two, it's pretty clear that we're looking at some pretty wackadoo stuff happening. And I'm not going to spoil anything for those who are watching, but they're doing a good job of building mystery. The thing that I find most annoying about it is all of the things that could be clues that I don't understand. And that is hard for me because I'm looking at everything going, well, does this mean something? Well, does this mean something? Well, does this mean something? And I find that to be very distracting. But that's because I have a puzzle brain and I want to figure something out. And I'm looking forward to, I think, watching it all and then going back and seeing the clues and the things that were missed. In the second one that you mentioned, the Bewitched episode, there's this really interesting figurine on the table beside the lamp that you just barely kind of, it's just there and gone. Or when it pans down between layers of the first or the top of the house and the bottom of the house and the introduction, there's like bones and stuff in there. And so it's like, okay, what are you doing here? And then there's a really interesting, like, there's some obvious ones that they're giving to everybody. Here's an obvious clue. And I love that. And then there's weird stuff like what comes out of the manhole. And you're just like, what is going on? And so it has this tension that's building that is addictive to watch. But I feel like I'm in a safe place when I watch it. I don't feel like they're going to be going some bonkers place because I feel safe in the world of Marvel. So I'm really excited. I think they're doing an incredible job. And I feel like this would be something that a lot of people would actually really enjoy, even if they're not thinking that they would, because it's, you know, Marvel and superhero universe and stuff. But I think this one would be one that I would recommend. I think my mom would actually really enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good. Cool. Appreciate your time today, guys. I do want to just address one more thing. Moco Maid said, how do you know if you're a super taster? There are a few ways that you can actually tell. One of them involves doing a hole punch in a piece of paper and actually counting your taste buds in a certain diameter.
Magnifying glass.
With a magnifying glass. There are what are called taste strips that you can also get that only super tasters can taste the bitterness on them. Most people won't taste very much of anything, but a super taster, it'll be very bitter too.
One of the surefire things, if you can handle coffee, you might not be a super taster.
Correct. Yeah, if you're a coffee drinker, it's very unlikely you're a super taster because coffee is very, very bitter to super tasters. If you're if you take icings off of cakes, that's another
kind of a sign
thing because it's a little too sweet. If you get things plain, if you like your food separated, you know, there's the Venn diagram of super taster and picky eater has a lot in common. So, you know, just understand it could be either. But yeah, so there you go.
You can just do what Lolly says, which is, how can you tell? Don't worry, they will tell you.
That's right.
But you know, a lot of times this is something that I learned about Aaron is people just, they think he's picky.
Right.
And so it ends up being uncomfortable, even in restaurants and stuff where he'll order something and he has to specifically ask about sauces. What's in the sauce? Because if it comes on a burger, it will ruin the entire burger and he can't eat it.
Yeah, I won't be able to. It's not, I can't scrape stuff off. That's the thing. That's the other thing. I can't scrape anything off. I have had Chick-fil-A put pickles on my sandwich and then take them off.
And he can tell.
It all tastes like pickles still. So it's like, in fact, I often get transfer from the gloves that they're wearing from because they've been handling pickles and then they'll handle a bun. It's an interesting mutant ability.
We think it'd be cool to have it, but we don't want it. Let's just be honest. So that's how we know. And we have stories to share. Maybe next time we get together, somebody can remember to throw up the you question and ask us about our time we took the, what were they called, Aaron? Magic pills?
Oh, yeah.
And had a dinner?
Yeah, magic fruit. Yeah.
Magic fruit.
Yeah.
Remember to ask us about the magic fruit next time. We go live on Mondays at 9 a.m. Central and some days. So that's why wherever you're watching, make sure you have the reminder set. Click the follow or a bell or whatever you have in front of you. And that way, if we can go live again this week at 9 a.m., you will be notified. And absolutely, a huge shout out to our Patreon supporters.
We love you, Team DNA, and just a reminder, we are 9 people, Team DNA members away from playing some D&D together. That's kind of the next little goal. If you're interested in supporting what goes on here, it's $5 a month, and you can check all that out at patreon.com/studioDNA. We will catch you on the next Monday or someday.
Bye! Have a good day! Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoo another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of
one.
Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.